Hello, Tachi Chesimeth and Elliot Young. Welcome to KBOO.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you so much for having us.
Tachi and Elliot are co-chairs of the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. Today they'll be discussing one of their major responsibilities, that is to investigate and prepare a report on the possibilities of replacing police as first responders to a large set of social problems, the problems of houselessness, mental health emergencies, school disorder, public intoxication, and minor drug use, also violence prevention. Those are all now police responsibilities, taking up much more than half of their time. Tachi and Elliot will also discuss the potential, as advocated by a majority of community people who have testified before the committee. Those people have advocated that instead of police first responding to all of those people in distress, the city should develop units of workers trained in diffusing conflict and supporting people in distress. Elliot Young teaches history at Lewis and Clark College. Tachi Chesimeth co-founded the organization Raising Justice. He's very active in youth organizing and local politics. Both have been very active over the years in Portland politics. So Tachi and Elliot, tell us more about your committee and its origins, its growing responsibilities.
Yeah, sure. So the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing sort of started after the 2012 settlement agreement the city went through. The Department of Justice and the federal government concluded that Portland was using substantial force on people with experiencing mental health crises, especially with tasers, and specifically with the instance of James Chassie and Kendra James and Aaron Campbell led to the necessity for a body like PSEP to exist. PSEP's first body used to be called COAB. Now we are PSEP, and we've been functioning for around 3 years now, working to facilitate dialogue with the community and police about better reform efforts we can do to improve relationships, and all around advising on the body and PPB in its entirety.
Elliot,
go ahead.
Why don't you talk about the committees that you have that are working in these various areas?
Yes, the committee consists of 13 members of the public, and we have subcommittees on behavioral health, on racial equity, policy, and policy committee, and we have now created work groups on issues around the Core Patrol Review. So just to clarify, the Core Patrol Review was handed to PSEP by Mayor Wheeler in June as part of his 19-point plan. There was no mandate to reduce the police in that. What has happened is in the feedback we've gotten from the community, there is an overwhelming desire to see the police focus on particular activities such as solving violent crime, and to take them out of the business of interacting with people with mental illness or homeless people, and the community has sort of come up with ideas for alternatives to the police.
Yeah, you know, your agent, the PSEP, is what politicians used to call a blue ribbon committee of citizens to investigate and make recommendations on some major issue, except your committee is not dominated by businessmen. It's a blue ribbon group, of course, but of mostly ordinary citizens who are ordinary citizens of an extraordinary species, who are committed to changing the way we deal with so many of these problems. I think it's important to begin with, though, that community-engaged policing is, you're not a program where the model is the police going out to the community and sort of leading them around. One goal is to spy on their neighbors and give information to the police, of course, another way of saying it. You know, that is not the goal of the committee.
So the label community-engaged policing is, I think, confusing. What that means to me is that the community should have a say in how it is policed, and what the role of the PSEP is to provide a channel of feedback from the community to the mayor's office, who's the police commissioner, and to the police themselves so that we could reduce harm in the community and hopefully improve relations between police and the community. But we're not about setting up neighborhood watch groups or community policing entities, even though the name might be confusing. That's not really what we're doing.
Another thing I would add in there is how a lot of the new work we've been doing with this Truth and Reconciliation has beget the really important question of community engagement and whether community policing is an initiative that has worked or is working, especially when the police do not come with a perspective of trying to learn from the mistakes that they've caused personally as the Portland Police Bureau, or more widely as being part of the policing system. And so it feels really important for PSEP to be a arbiter for some of this change that we aren't seeing with the community initiatives that PPP is doing on their own. It's really important for community members to be standing up and continuously critiquing and pushing for the change that we need to see so that we don't just have community policing under a false reality, which is what we have right now, which is, and dialogue is really just the first step. We need to, you know, work on truth-telling more. We need to work on having more authentic conversations about the harms that's been caused. And I don't think we have been having those conversations. And we won't have the change we want until we do.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole on KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon, talking to Tarsi Chesimet and Elliot Young, the co-chairs of the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. They discuss the origins of the committee and its current work, particularly exploring ways of relieving the police of responsibility for responding to complaints about the homeless, for mental health emergencies, traffic infractions, violence prevention, and also, though, creating, not just relieving the police of responsibilities, it's creating alternative services to work with people in serious distress. I saw a tweet from Elliot asking Portlanders to come to the public meetings that you're holding and make written testimony on the issues of how to reduce violence and increase public safety that do not involve more armed officers. So, Tanji, Elliot, give us a sense of the ideas that have been presented at the March 17th public meeting, and also prior testimony, all the written comments you've received, what their essence and the arguments they've made in support of their positions.
Yeah, so there's multiple ways that the community has been involved. One is through this MAP app, which is an online portal where more than 250 people gave comments on what they believe the police should be doing, what they should not be doing, and what are alternatives to the police. We had a town hall with about 70 people, and we've had these work sessions, one of which just happened on March 17th. And so out of these sessions, there's been generalized comments. And at the last meeting, we were trying to hone down on how we could turn some of that feedback into recommendations or ideas for recommendations. And I'll just talk about some of the ideas that emerged out of the last meeting and out of all of this testimony. One is that people in general seem to be advocates of the newly set up Portland Street Response, which is unarmed, not police officers who go out and try to resolve issues facing people living on the streets. And that could include people with mental illness, people who have addiction issues, and people who obviously don't have houses. So the Portland Street Response right now is a very small pilot program. It just has two vans. It's in one neighborhood. It's only been running for a month. We know that this model works because it's based on the CAHOOTS model in Eugene, which takes 20% of 911 calls. And the general sentiment that we've heard from the community is they want to see the Portland Street Response expanded citywide for funding to be increased so that it's possible. And it's not exactly clear how much would be needed. But basically, we shouldn't be waiting a year or more. This is an urgent need. We need to provide the funding and expand Portland Street Response. Tanji, why don't you talk about the other issues and recommendations that came up?
Yeah, sure. So we've also been talking a lot about what sort of calls PPB responds to and how they could better handle calls that are more pertinent to what they're best at, really. Like, what are they best at? And that is handling crimes or handling the aftermath of crime. And it really does also allow for us to explore what does it look like to have some of the funding PPB typically spends on Court Patrol for things like traffic, and where could those funds go if they were not being spent on those things. And so we've also looked into what it would look like if there was a different traffic unit that was unarmed. We also looked into what it would look like to further fund the Office of Violence Prevention so that we could help reduce the gun violence issue that's happening in the city of Portland and really across the country. And those are just a few of the other ones. And we're really excited to just continue to have these dialogues and work towards some of these solutions. And we've really been proud of how collaborative we've been making this with the community, the city of Portland, and even with PPB in trying to make this as much of a process that can work and be harmonious with the current other reforms happening across the city as well.
And I would add that what we're asking for is for the police to focus on the things that the police are trained to do. And this is something that the police have often complained about, that they're acting as social workers on the street, that they're called for every social problem. And so we agree with the police and even with Daryl Turner, the former and now current president of the police union, who made those comments. The police should not be doing social work on the streets. They're not the right instrument for that, and they oftentimes cause further harm. We think it'll be more cost effective and create less harm and be more helpful for the community to create these alternatives to the police to address what amounts to, as you said, a large majority of the calls that the police are currently handling. And so by doing this, we can reduce harm in the community, stop the disproportionate policing of communities of color, and hopefully also end the unfortunate killings by police of people, many of whom are Black or are in mental health crisis at the time they're encountered by the police.
Elliot and Kanji, I have one reservation, one important reservation about the possibilities of the replacement units and on homelessness and mental health problems and also violence prevention. The reservation is that, let's take the case of dealing with homelessness. Seems to me that the units doing that are going to have an enormous amount of trouble and make it impossible to do their job unless we have much more affordable housing, maybe sheltering for as a bridge to permanent housing, much better kinds of sheltering. But without those resources, it seems to me they're set up in a way that they're going to have trouble succeeding and then be the target of the community saying, look, we changed everything, we took the police out of it, and the homelessness problem is getting worse. That would be, of course, the right-wing call. And unless we really get resources, it seems to me that the whole effort could easily fail.
Yeah, this came up at our public meetings that we are focused on first responders, but that we cannot ignore the fact that we need to deal with the larger social network, and we cannot just have first responders out there dealing with people if they don't have a place to send people who are having a mental health crisis. There needs to be funding for services for those people. There needs to be affordable housing, to be drug and addiction services. So the city needs to work with the county and the state and the federal government to massively increase the funding for a social network so that these first responders are able to channel those people to those places. And I like to think about this moment in terms of the $6 trillion the federal government has spent on resolving the COVID pandemic, and think about what would the equivalent amount be in Portland to resolve the pandemic that we have of violence, of homelessness, of all the social problems we have. In other words, it's going to require a massive investment of money into those services. Some of that money may be able to come from the police bureau as we take work away from them and replace them. But realistically, we're also talking about needing to come up with new funds and sources for that revenue. And there are a lot of wealthy people in Portland who certainly could afford to do their fair share, helping to create a social network that is able to really help our whole community.
I would also just say that the Portland Street Response really does, it is really trying to take a holistic approach to this issue. So the people that they're working with, the houseless folks, and not just houseless folks, but really just anyone who needs the support that they're providing, they really work to do wraparound services for these folks. So they're trying to do follow-up, they're trying to get them to sobering centers, to housing and to employment. And it is obviously not an easy thing to do, and that's why they need more funding so they can handle more cases. But at the same time, the resources they have are still limited. So, you know, echoing just what Elliot says and the really larger investment necessary to handle the rest of these issues.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Hour on KBOO Radio. I'm talking to Taji Chesimeth and Elliot Young, the co-chairs of the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. They've so far discussed how the great majority of police contacts on the street have nothing to do with serious crime. They're mostly about dealing with the homeless. Taji and Elliot have reported on possibilities of responding to all of the problems of people in distress, with people trained in diffusing conflict and supporting people in trouble. Taji and Elliot, tell us about how people in Portland can get involved with the PSEP and you folks for developing these reports and recommendations and strengthening the movement to find a way to deal with problems that don't involve armed men who are suspicious on any contact and often demand obedience, and then if it's not given immediately, move into their combat operations. Tell us about how we can support the struggles to, in fact, intervene in much more productive ways.
So PSEP and, you know, the whole entire policing reform movement is very welcoming to new people who want to get involved in this work. And I think it's really important that we build a coalition of a stronger movement so we can continue to push pressure on the city and on PPB to create the changes that the community wants to see. And so we've been really excited to have a lot of community involvement on the work sessions we've been doing on Court Patrol. We also have really just begun starting working on the Truth and Reconciliation process. So anyone who's interested in these things, or even PSEP itself has running alternate positions that you can apply for, and we have an open position that we'll be filling hopefully in March or April. And we really do want as many community members as possible involved in this and in showing up for this. And I know that, you know, we had a great turnout in the summer and the start of a lot of those larger community protests. And even going throughout the year from there, we still had a consistent amount of people wanting to see changes and wanting to show up. And so really anyone and all are welcome to come and support and join and work with us to come up with the solutions that we want to see for our Portland.
Yeah, and I would just add, we're having a work session coming up. I think it's March 31st. If you go to the PSEP website, you can see the announcement of all our meetings. All of our meetings are public. They're all recorded and put on YouTube so people could follow along even if they can't make the meeting. And the plan is that we will come up with recommendations, send it back out to the community for public feedback through the MAP app and in other forums, and then we will finalize those recommendations. The PSEP will vote on them, and then in May, we are intending to bring our recommendations to City Council. So there are many ways to get involved and have your say in what those recommendations actually are.
The City Council sessions on that and their votes and their decisions they make, that's going to become a central moment in contemporary Portland history, because many of the recommendations will be undoubtedly opposed as strongly as they can by the police and their supporters. It seems to me quite likely that it's going to become very dramatic and important. Okay, we're very near the end of our time today, and there's a looming question that we have to grapple with, but not today. That looming question happens to be a question for all movements and progressive activists, including media people. And that question is, how do we win reforms, like of the police that we've been discussing, how do we win reforms and at the same time not strengthen the very system that's responsible for creating houselessness and recourse to drugs to quiet the despair and pain and that grips so many, including school children who rebel? And then there's the school-to-prison pipeline, if the police are deeply involved in the school at all times. Of course, the answer is not to abandon reform. People want reform. That's where people are active. The answer is to work in reforms in ways that also challenge the system that creates the homelessness and the rest. Surely we must work to replace the police as first responders to 9/11 calls and other calls about homelessness and mental health problems that people are in the streets and the rest of it. And instead replace them with helping and caring people with the capacity to connect with and really help. But at the same time in that battle to replace, we can point out that this reform will go nowhere unless we as a society create more public and affordable housing and also make sure that recovering drug abusers and the homeless are able to work at decent contributory jobs, like all our poorly paid essential workers. But in that better world, that essential work would pay a living wage. Yes, reforms, but reforms that challenge the system that are fought for and in operation, challenge the system that creates and exacerbates so much human distress. I guess that's my last word. Kati Chesimet and Elliot Young, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So long.